Let's go to Romans chapter 15. We're going to close in the book of Romans today. I hope this has been a blessing. It's blessed me. It hasn't been an exhaustive look at the book of Romans. There's a lot more in here, but, my heart, my goal in doing this was to sort of give an overview of this foundational epistle. And it's just that. It's a foundational epistle. On the doctrine that we're to believe regarding Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at that section that began in chapter 14, verse 1, ended in verse 14 of chapter 15. And that section opened with how we are not to receive one another. And then, towards the end of that section, how we are to receive one another. And that is as Jesus Christ received us to the glory of the Father. And that section closed with they're being able to admonish one another, to put the word in mind for one another. And, we briefly considered what that meant. And it's by your life. It can be by many different ways. Sometimes it's speaking up. Sometimes it's just loving. Sometimes it's just, but you put the word in mind. And we help one another to think God's word, to believe God's word. That's one of the most thrilling things about teen camp. It's amazing. Some of these kids, they come in so beat up from the world. So beat up. Yeah. It's something. And by the middle of the week, it's like they're not the same people. They're not the same people. And it's because of God's word. It's because they're believing. It's because they're fellowshipping with saints, with the Spirit of God. And they're speaking the word to one another. Isn't that something? It's really something to watch. It breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart. I see some of these kids and even other saints who they're by themselves and they don't have fellowship. They don't have fellowship with like-minded believers. They don't have fellowship with at least believers who have a concern for the doctrine of God's word. And the damage that does. Because it is not what God set up. It is not what God set up. Fellowship is a huge deal to God. A huge deal. Refer to the Word of God. It's a big deal. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't do that. That's the Word of God. Right? I don't know what made me think of all that, but it's just thrilling to watch that and what the word does and how it ministers, how it heals. And really something. Putting the word in mind, that's what it was. Okay, Romans chapter 15. There wasn't a total disconnect there. Romans chapter 15 and verse 15 begins the next section that we're going to look at. And it opens with here in verse 15, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given unto me of God. That I should be," this is kind of an interesting verse, "that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified or set apart by Holy Spirit." These words are interesting. The word for minister, and I don't want to get into the Greek word, but the word for minister is a word that's used in Greek of a public or a priestly service. The word for ministering is not the word diakonos or a form of that word. It's a word that is used in Greek in reference to he who serves or administers as a priest. Isn't that interesting? And the word that is used of, or translated offering up, is a word that is used of offerings or sacrifices that were brought to the temple. Yeah. It's kind of interesting. It's that it's likening the offering up of the Gentiles to those sacrifices that were sanctified and offered up by the priests to God. Isn't that something? And we're going to see here as we get into this that Paul fulfilled his ministry. He fulfilled it, which was to hold forth the word, the gospel regarding Jesus Christ unto the Gentiles. And the Gentiles believed on Jesus Christ and were sanctified, not by blood, not by oil, not by water, but by what?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Sanctified, set apart by Holy Spirit. See? Isn't that something? That offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable to God. Well, it would be acceptable because they were sanctified by Spirit. Kind of a neat verse, isn't it? I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which God hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed. This word obedient is going to come up here in this closing section, in the closing sections of Romans. And we're going to refer back to that in a few minutes. To make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through many signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit. And that's Holy Spirit, the gift of Holy Spirit. So that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I'm just having a hard time with that one today. Thank you. Have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And that fully is to fulfill. He fulfilled it. To preach the gospel of Christ. Romans opened up with making known the gospel of God regarding Jesus Christ, who was marked out by the resurrection from the dead. For the obedience of the believing. So the obedience of the Gentiles that's being spoken of here is what obedience? To the believing, to the faith, the believing. See? The believing. And it's that believing which is contrary to all other ways of believing. It's a big deal in Romans. We're going to see this in as we go here. It's a big deal. The believing, it's a big deal. What we believe is a big deal. Doctrine is a big deal. It's a big deal. Verse 20, yea, so I have strived, and this word strived is kind of neat because it's a word that means to love honor, basically. And you would translate this, and I believe Walter translates this, yea, so I have made it a point of honor to preach the gospel. not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall what?
Understand.
See, this is pretty cool. Because this is quoted from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 15. I'm going to read it. You can turn there if you like, but I can just read it to you. Isaiah 52. I'll read verse 14 first. Kind of set it. Well, I better read verse 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonied or astonished or amazed or stunned at thee. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And here's the quote. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them, they shall see. And that which they had not heard, shall they consider or understand. That's what's been quoted. See. It's kind of neat because this verse opens, so shall he sprinkle many nations. And this is a word that was used of the sanctifying of offerings. The altar would be sprinkled with blood. The priests would be sprinkled with blood. The mercy seat sprinkled with blood. Or the priest would also be sprinkled with oil. That's something. To sanctify or to set apart. See? And this is talking about Jesus Christ. So shall he sprinkle many nations. See? Peter, in its opening, opens with, sanctified by the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, which is prophesied all the way back in Isaiah. Isn't that beautiful? See? And this is the... Well, let's go back to Romans 15. I want to read this again. This is kind of cool. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see. And they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. The word hindered is a word that means to cut in. And it was used of a trench that would be built to prevent the enemy from advancing. He was much hindered from coming to them, to these saints. But now, having no more place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, and the words I will come to you are in any critical Greek text. Okay? Just simply added. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I trust to see you in my journey. And to be brought on my way thitherward by you. If first I be somewhat filled or satisfied with your company. You know, refer to the closing of last year's family camp. Because Paul did end up in Rome. Not exactly the way he planned, perhaps. But he did end up in Rome. And he did do an itinerary that is not recorded in the book of Acts. And it is likely during that time where he did go to Spain. Kind of interesting. I think it's in one of the appendixes, if I remember right. Verse 25. But now I go where? Unto Jerusalem. To minister unto the saints. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem. The book of Romans was most likely written from the city of Corinth, where he stayed for, I believe it was 3 months, on his way to Jerusalem. And he was going to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit. And he was going to Jerusalem against the Word of God. God did not want him to go to Jerusalem. He was warned by saints. He was warned by a prophet. But he was on his way to Jerusalem. And you'll see a little bit of his heart here as we read in going to Jerusalem, even though it was against God's word. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. Isn't it amazing? Think about this. He's on his way to Jerusalem against the will of God. And he's writing the foundational doctrine to the church. I don't know. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. So Paul had gifts. He had material abundance, abundant sharing of the number of Gentile saints from these regions, and he was taking it to Jerusalem. Okay, to bless the saints there of Judean background. That was his heart, to seal this fruit, this giving. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, and this use of Spirit here is referring to God, for the love of God, that you strive together with me. Now listen, look at this heart. With me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. Pray for me. Pray for me. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Well, that didn't happen. He went to Jerusalem and ended up being a prisoner, and was a prisoner for the next 2 years. Ended up in Rome at that point. Now, the God of peace be with you all. So you see a little bit of his heart and desire there. Chapter 16. I love this section. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centria. Centria was a port city of Corinth. Okay? And a number of these folks that we're going to read here had been with Paul at Corinth. You know, when Paul first went to Corinth, how long was he there? 2 years? I should have checked this. I think it was 2 years. It was in Corinth where Jesus Christ revealed himself unto Paul and said, I have much people in this city. No man will set to harm you. See? Yeah. So Paul stayed. And he just held forth God's word like crazy. And the word of God moved like crazy in Corinth. That's where he met Aquila and Priscilla. It's in Corinth. They lived together. That's something. Had a little service home. It was he, Aquila and Priscilla. And he must have taught them God's word, because when Apollos came through, you remember that record in Corinth? It was Aquila and Priscilla. We invited them over for chicken dinner. A couple things we'd like to share with you. Isn't that something? Yeah. Here, this Phoebe was a servant. And that word servant is diakonos. Or I don't know how you pronounce it. I think it's diakonos. But it means to run to serve. It's translated minister. This was a woman who ran to serve. That you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, as becometh holy ones, those who have been sanctified by God, unto God. And that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you, for she has been a succorer, an assistant of many. She has assisted, helped, strengthened, upheld many. Must have been quite a woman. And of myself also. Isn't that something? She helped Paul. Verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. You know, what a couple. Amazing. Amazing what they did. Amazing what they stood through. Can you imagine just the relationships that they had? When Paul left out Ephesus, he trusted Aquila and Priscilla to take care of them. So, just different places in the Word, and it was just that ongoing relationship based on Christ, based on God's Word. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Boy, their life must have had quite an effect. All the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And they just did a fellowship in their home. Now some. The great Aquila and Priscilla. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of, and Achaia should be Asia, the first fruits of Asia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on you, is what it should read. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. They had gotten into the word before Paul. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. This is neat. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. This word approved, some of you may be aware of this. It's the Greek word dokimos. That's the word. Dokimos. A dokimos, let me explain to you what a dokimos was. In the market, you would weigh out things for money, for coins. And these coins were coins that were made. It would be monies, or it could also be pieces of silver or whatever. But things used as currency. And you had to be very careful about who you traded with, because what these guys would do is they would shave just little teeny teeny sliver off of that metal. So instead of an ounce, it would be 0.95. See? So you were paying for it, you were trading for an ounce, you get 0.95. See? Well, there were certain men who traded who were called dokimos. They were trusted. They never screwed with you. They always traded fairly and were honest, and they were called dokimos. He was a dokimos in Christ. Isn't that something? Boy, he walked with God. He knew God's word. When you went to Apelles, you got what you needed. Isn't that something? He was a dokimos in Christ. I love that. You know, these people, and you don't read about them in the book of Acts, you don't read, but here they're mentioned. Just wonderful saints who stood, who moved God's word, who loved God. Just some. Salute them, which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Boy, New Birth turned his name around. Salute Tryphena and Tryphona, or Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. These were likely women, if I remember right. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nerus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss or a holy embrace, a sanctified embrace. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, to mark them. And it basically means to keep an eye on. To keep an eye on them, which cause divisions and stumbling blocks, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and what? Avoid them. And this is interesting. This is interesting, because if you compare it to Romans 15:7, we are to receive one another as what? As Christ received us, as the glory of God. But here is to keep an eye on them that cause divisions and stumbling blocks contrary to the what? Doctrine is a big deal. It is right teaching. It is right believing. I cannot state this enough. And over the years, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday for an hour long regarding this very thing, because of the hurt that she's experiencing with this very thing. Over the years, I cannot tell you the number of wonderful saints who are gone because they didn't hold to the doctrine of right believing. I can't tell you the number of times that I have had in my face the statement made to me, we are all one body. Which, if you know me, don't say that to me, because that offends me. I know what the one body is. My concern is never who, it is what. And when it comes to doctrine, when it comes to God's word, that is what he's magnified above all his name. And that's what Paul is fighting for here. You understand? Because if the adversary is going to get in, he's going to attack believing. He can't undo what you are spiritually. He can't undo the holiness that you have because of what Christ did. He can't undo those things. But he can talk you out of them by getting you to believe something other than the truth. He can talk you into believing that the dead are alive. He can talk you into believing that it's gifts of the Spirit and not manifestations of Spirit. He can talk you into all that stuff. And you lose out on the fullness of what it is God has available. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Sometimes I come off a little heavy on this. Sometimes I come off a little strong. I've had wonderful saints who, right to my face, do not agree with what I'm saying. That's fine. But I'll tell you this, spend some time and put the work in. Put the work into God's Word. And I'll tell you this, with all confidence, God agrees with what I'm saying. It's a big deal. And he's fighting for these saints. He's fighting for them. All they in Asia turned away from the Apostle Paul. What do you think they turned away from? The clothing that he wore? Didn't want to hang out with him? What do you think they turned away from? The doctrine. Yeah, something. They all heard, and the signs and the miracles and the wonders. And yet the devil managed to get in and steal all of it. It's not a game. It's really not a game. The Word of God is worth putting work into. It really is. It really is. Okay. Got a little heavy there. But, you know, that's why this verse is here. You keep an eye on them. And I do. And I will. And so should you when it comes to doctrine. That doesn't mean you walk in love. And when and where they're a holy one, they're a holy one. Boy, you keep this stuff in balance. See? But no games when it comes to doctrine. No games. I don't play those games. And neither should you. Because I've seen it. So, and some of you older folks have seen the same thing, haven't you? It's a heartbreaker. See? Anyway. Okay. And coming up here. Well, let's finish reading this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them. Keep an eye on them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Turn away from. Don't mess with it. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. May look like it, but their own belly, figure of speech meaning themselves, and by good words. These good words, it means, it's a Greek word that means well spoken of. These are words that are well spoken of something or someone, but are meant to deceive. They're well spoken words. And fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. It's going full circle here because Romans opened with obedience to the faith. Your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple or unmixed and pure concerning evil. And here's the greatest verse on peace in the Word of God, in my opinion. And the God of peace shall crush Satan shortly under your feet. Amen? Amen. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Verse 21. Timotheus. That word amen, by the way, is not in the text. It actually comes up a little later here. Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius, and Jason, and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Now, what this means is, he was the one that wrote the epistle, but he wrote what it is Paul spoke. Okay? All the epistles were written this way. And Paul would tell him what to write. You can see a similar thing in the book of Jeremiah with Jeremiah and Baruch. Baruch wrote, but who was getting the revelation? Jeremiah. Well, same here. Paul got the revelation. This man here was the one who actually wrote what Paul said to write. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church salute you. Erastus, under the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Quartus, a brother. Verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. This verse is not in. I'm not sure if it's not in any. No, I think it's in one critical Greek text. Every other critical Greek text is not. It's not here. Kind of interesting. We're getting there. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel? My gospel. Wow. It opened up with the gospel of God regarding Jesus Christ. And here Paul, by revelation, writes my gospel. What a faithful man. Something, huh? My gospel. See. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, the mystery is introduced, which is picked up, discussed, and gone into great detail in the next doctrinal epistle, which is the epistle of Ephesians. See? But now is made manifest, or evident, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the what? The obedience of believing. See? This is what Romans opened with. This is what it closes with. The obedience of believing. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. And that's the book of Romans. It opens with the gospel of God. At the end here, it's my gospel. The preaching of Jesus Christ. It opens with obedience to believing. It closes with obedience to believing. Isn't that something? And again, it's the book of Romans that contains that foundational doctrine regarding Jesus Christ. So, great stuff. I'm going to pray.